demons, poltergeists, the devil. That's all next. Believe me, we don't support any of them. But we're going to talk about it in just a moment on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Kurt Kessler back with us, last on with me about 6 years ago, was born in Ohio, obtained degrees and certificates in broadcasting, communications, parapsychology, metaphysics, and has worked for a variety of institutions and museums as well. Known for his work in debunking a wide assortment of paranormal incidents and claims common sense always is the best resolution to help in doing so. Currently lives with his wife and daughter in Central Ohio, passes time investigating paranormal incidents around the state and the country. Also, his book is called Demonology 101. Kurt, welcome back. It's been a while.
Well, how you been, George?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself? Everybody good?
Oh, everybody's doing wonderful. I can't argue. My daughter has amazed me completely in school, excelled with science and math, and made me so proud.
Good. How old is she? Is she now?
She is now a whopping 15-year-old.
Yeah,
I swear to you, it seems like she's trying to go on 20.
That's funny because she was a little 9-year-old when you first came on the program. That's how much time has clicked by. Just amazing. And you're still.
Well, we've all been busy.
Yeah, we have. And you're still doing your paranormal stuff.
Yes, yeah, and actually, instead of going solo, I finally bowed down. I found a couple of guys that I really, really, really do trust. They actually had started the Columbus, Ohio research for the paranormal and supernatural, and they're really level-headed. They got a lot of good common sense. Sean and Scott are their names, and they're wonderful gentlemen. I assure you.
Well, that's good. Now, is it safe to call you a demonologist?
Well, I think for the better degree, yeah, at this point in my life, even 7 years ago. I always tell people that in order to basically understand the subject, obviously you got to study, but that goes beyond anything that you might even learn in a church. You got to be willing to study the works of great people like Ed Warren, and even the counterpart, if you will, of people like Ed Warren. You got to take a look at Stephen Kaplan, even, in some of his work, as far as the paranormal is concerned.
How did you get into this? I'm always curious how people get into these unusual, mystical things.
Well, when it came down to this, originally I got started because I was part of a small ghost hunting group, and we had faced, the best way of explaining it was just really dark. I had no idea at the time what it was we were dealing with, but we were facing just what can be amalgamated as pure evil. And nobody else in the group really had a concept. So I sat there and I said, well, because we had made it through that situation, ironically, with the help of a priest, and we had made it through that. So I sat there, I said, well, you know, if nobody else is actually going to take the time to learn this, I don't like going into bad, dire situations without an ounce of knowledge, so I will take it upon myself to start learning this. And it really just, it blossomed, it ballooned to the point to where some of my basic notes on the subject turned into the first book. And then more notes turned into the second book, and I've even got a third book in the pipeline. So, I mean, it really is one of those one things. I think it's just like anybody else. You could take a person who's a shoemaker. Well, you learn things over time. Those things build, and eventually it goes to the point to where the shoemaker is able to open his own little store.
That's right.
Well,
there's nothing like
that's
experience.
The way it is with me.
Well, tell us, in your words, what a demonologist does.
Well, a demonologist, a good demonologist, one, you don't charge. Let's get that perfectly straight. There's too many people out there that want to advertise cleanliness.
And profiteer off something. All right. That's
right. And profitability is not part of it. Getting knowledge and making sure people are okay, that's the reward, if you will. But for a better degree, no, we don't look like Dr. Van Helsing. Huh. we probably spend 20% of our time in a library. But for the better degree, I mean, sir, I'm sitting here wearing a T-shirt right now talking to you, and the T-shirt has Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson on it. So I assure you, we don't look like Van Helsing, and we don't go around and get ready to stake vampires or whatever.
At least you don't.
Well, I would like to believe that a majority of us don't. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are some out there that honestly want to go on and go forward and probably do dress in 18th century garb and go around. But for the better degree, our job, our task is purely to help and to try to identify and explain. And more importantly, put people in the right path in order to get this negativity, this evil out of their life. I often tell about one of the cases that took place in Richmond, Indiana, in which a family, a very devout Catholic family, they were experiencing attacks and a lot of just bad negativity took place. It got to the point to where people were literally had to make, visits to the hospital. And a local paranormal group to there had contacted me. I went over, and I have a certain way of testing for certain things. I use artifacts and other things to kind of give me a leeway, give me a pinpoint what we're dealing with. And as far as I could tell, what we were dealing with was something of Egyptian in origin. And I pled with the family, very Catholic, very devout, please allow me to bring a Selmaic magic priest in to cleanse this property. And they wouldn't do it. They had to have their own priest come in and so forth. And this went on two separate times. And then finally, the third time, it was really ironic because I had just left Richmond, Indiana. I was actually on my way back to Columbus, taking Interstate 70 for the truck drivers out there. And I had just gotten around Dayton, Ohio. I was listening to you, of all things, on the radio.
Go figure.
And my phone blew up again. And it was, well, whatever happened this time, we really irritated it. They did not use those exact words. They got a little bit more unsafe of broadcast.
Thank you.
And I sat there and I said, okay, hang on. And I literally turned the car around and went back to Richmond. The family had decided to finally go to a hotel for that night. And it was going to take me at least a few hours to get things arranged on my end. I got some things arranged. And by sunset of the next day, very good Selmaic magic practitioner, a priest in that faith, was there and had basically begun the rites of cleansing. And this thing was really ticked off. I think it was ticked off because it had been dealt with two cases of using not the right term of cleansing or whatever. I'm still even questioning how that happened, but this thing got so angry, the house was ransacked. Literally, the best way of explaining it, you're standing inside the house, and the wall is pounding to where holes are flying out away,
my
as if
God.
Something is inside the hall, the wall pounding at you. A refrigerator that was downstairs in the cellar literally managed to take itself and launch itself out the back cellar doors.
How does this happen? And is it negative energy that does this?
Well, that's pretty much the basis of everything when it comes to demons. You're talking about pure negative energy. It doesn't matter where the demon originates. It could originate in Christian basis. It could originate, obviously, in Judaism. It could even originate, obviously, in this case, in Egyptian. You can pick any religion, any faith, and you've got a negative entity there, just as you have a positive entity. But the goofy aspect is as I tell people all the time, some demons, if you will, can actually perform what is considered acts of positivity. Out of Asian mythology, demonology, if you will, there is a demon entity by the name of Yen Lo Wang. And Yen Lo Wang, he was once a ruler in their version of hell. And when he is up on the planet, if you will, he is known to go after molesters, rapists, and so forth. He torments them. That's how he derives his enjoyment. Huh. So as I said, you know, just because they're demon doesn't necessarily mean they're bad. But then again, you know, there have been even Christian scripture written of, you know, angels who have done negative, bad things. So it just depends on your point of view, really, by some aspects.
So you have been categorized as a debunker, but I think you really are looking for the truth. Now, you happen to debunk issues and places that aren't the real deal, but but I think you're a truth seeker.
Well, I think that if anything, that's something that I think everybody is actually on that path. We all want to know the truth. We want to know what exactly we're understanding, what we're feeling, what we're doing, if you will. And really for me, yeah, the best way of explaining it is when you walk inside a house and you're told, hey, this house is haunted, and you go around and you basically point out that, well, you heard noises in the attic and it was a squirrel, or you heard this constant motion behind a wall and it's just, you've got old plumbing. You know, yeah, it's nice to have those situations because you can sit there and, you know, everyone's put at ease. Sure, it creeps people out. I mean, anything can creep anybody out. But really, when it comes down to it, you work yourself through all stuff like that. And then eventually you do get those one things where, well, that's funny, all that banging behind the wall, you don't have any pipes behind that wall. Wonder what's going on. And then you end up knocking down the wall, and then you find out, well, there's either anything from someone has written a curse, if you will, on the wall, to written an inscription for a talisman. Name your whatever the situation may be. My own house, I'm not going to lie, George, I sat there. I purchased this house, oh, probably 5 months before I had talked to you. And the first thing I did was I got silver nitrate and salt, and I packed all the exterior walls with silver nitrate and salt. Outside of being a goofy insulator as far as the weather, it actually works as a great insulator against, well, supernatural forces.
Huh. What did your wife think of that?
Well, she sat there only because she has had some experiences in her life. She actually told me that if I didn't do it, especially around the bathroom, she was going to divorce me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone sits there and they go on about ghosts and all this stuff. No one ever thinks about the common sense stuff. How many people want to sit there when you're on the throne of thrones in your home and you don't want to think about anything looking at you during that time?
So do these demons and ghosts generally follow you around? Is that why you tried to insulate the house?
Well, for the better degree, I've had some bad situations in my life.
Okay.
That have managed to repop themselves. So I make sure that my home is my castle, if you will, George. I want to make sure that
that's smart.
When I go home, I go home. I get to leave all that behind because I'm at home. If I want to sit down and watch an episode of Rick and Morty, I don't want to be bothered.
What makes a demon? I mean, where do they come from?
Well,
are they dead people that were evil when they were living? What are they?
Well, you see, now that's the catch 22. Now, I try to explain this to people, and I try to explain it to them to where even an atheist, if you will, can stop. And I've actually had some atheists go, well, that's actually a plausible explanation. I never thought of it that way. It doesn't matter what faith you follow, what belief system you are. For a brief moment, just go out on a limb with me. All right. We know that one thing is constant in this universe, and that was the Big Bang. Once the Big Bang happened...
Whatever that is, by the way.
Right. And we don't know if, you don't have to believe a deity waved their hand to make it or whatever. We know that it pretty much was this giant explosion. There was a lot of energy. Well, energy is outside of... the thermal, if you will, we know that there is positive and negative particles that happen in all explosions. It's part of the electric current, if you will, that we are even able to talk to each other right now. It's just pure energy. Well, negative energy, it goes through. Positive energy goes out as well.
Right.
And sometimes people sit there and... this is the part where I think I end up losing some people of some faith. You have to remember, mankind was very young. We didn't fully understand what a deity truly was, but we began to pray. And as we began to pray, we kind of formulated in our head what these entities looked like, these deities. Some took on positive characteristics, some took on negative characteristics. And when we began to sit there and formulate these entities, they began to kind of draw those charges of negative and positive. So for the better degree, as much as we want to sit there and say, well, God created us, well, that's fine. God created us, but in turn, we helped try to create a God, if you will. And in some cases, we created negative energy. Entities as well. A lot of people don't realize that there are many texts out of the Holy Bible that were removed many times over because of different people getting their hands on the Bible. But some unedited versions of the Bible, it does speak of the holy war between, at the time, Lucifer and, you know, Jehovah, God, Jesus' daddy. Lucifer sat there. He actually, it's described as a period. Some people call it a 2-year period in God time, that Lucifer was evil and still going around heaven. God hadn't kicked him out yet, but God had renamed him. He was no longer Lucifer. He was now Lucibel. And then if you take a look at some of the early Kabbalah texts, Satan, if you will, is actually called Satanus, which was actually second with sin. There's actually a head superior, if you will, of hell, and that's, you know, various entities depending on your faith, again. But like I said, these people, they get so enamored by their faith, and I'm not out to destroy or hurt or damage anyone's faith, but it's a way of understanding that positive and negative energies have gone through the universe, and we allowed them to take shape. We allowed them to take shape.
Hold on, Kurt. We're going to come back and talk more about demons on Coast to Coast AM. Well, this weekend, I am going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona at the Afterlife Research and Education Symposium. I'm really looking forward to it. Come on out and watch the panels and have a great weekend in Scottsdale, Arizona. Full information at coasttocoastam.com in our carousel reel, so take advantage of that. We are back with the demonologist, Kurt Kessler, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The Catholic Church, Kurt, has all kinds of exorcists. They seem to be bringing in more and more. Why? Why are they doing this?
Well, I think for the better degree, really, when you look at the scheme of things, when you look at Christianity on the whole, if you will, the Catholics, for the better degree, are the ones that sit there and say, okay, we know this is a problem, and we're going to do whatever we can to actually stop it. Is mildly ironic, one of the organizations you can actually look up, that anybody can look up actually, is it's called the Catholic League of Exorcists. And it's perfectly condoned by the Catholic Church. You don't actually have to be Catholic. I know members who are rabbis. And the church is there to help train for the better degree. It's nothing that really, you know, you're a lot of people should take lightly. Because actually, in all key part, one of the questions earlier you'd asked me, you know, what exactly is a demonologist? And I sat there, I said, well, we don't really look like Van Helsing. It's actually really true because for the better degree, a demonologist, unless you've got years, I mean, and we're talking decades under your belt of doing this, you should not be in charge performing an exorcist. That should purely be on the hands of clergy, because they're a lot better trained. The most that really you should do when you're in a situation, yeah, you can assist, but unless something happens and that priest, that rabbi, or whatever drops dead in front of you, you should not be trying to take on the situation on your own. Now, some demonologists over the years, they've gotten permission by the church, and they've actually become really good at it. But that's far and few between. That's not really on our job or on our duty, if you will. Like I said, it's really to just offer advice, offer confirmation that certain things have happened. But that's it. That's on the hands of clergy, true actual clergy. I always find it funny because, you know, I mean, I did interview with you years ago and people got in contact with me like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, man, I want to go exercise demons and all this stuff. And you're just sitting there looking at them like,
it's not a game, is it?
Well, yeah, you're just like, you have no idea. One gentleman, he sat there, he was very prominent about pressuring me, like, hey, at least I want to go along. I at least want to go along. Took me along on the situation, and I'm. It's funny because when he talked to me, every time he talked to me, he always slurred his speech like he had been drinking or stuff like that. And I sat there and I said, "You got to be able to take this serious." And the night in question, he did come along, and he was, you know, sober. I give him credit, but all I know is that situation had happened in which we were dealing with a young lady that was experiencing, the best way I can confirm it, actual possession. The priest that was there had actually even confirmed it and begun rites of exorcism. And the gentleman in question was in the room with us, and she looked at him. And shortly afterwards, I had noticed that he had begun urinating himself. He left the room.
Jeez.
And I actually ran into him a year after the fact. He attends church freely every Sunday. He's not Catholic, but he attends church freely every Sunday. Found himself a pretty little blonde gal. And he's a proud church-going man after that.
Changed his life, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I think there was an old expression years and years ago, and I think it's actually very true, and it's about, like, you know, once you look off into the void, sometimes the void looks back at you. And that's probably the best way of explaining that is whatever he saw, what was looking directly at him, I think it made him realize he needed to change his ways in this world, and I can honestly say I'm actually really kind of proud of that guy, because he did. He changed his ways, at least.
Why do some people, Kurt, summon demons? Why do they want to do that?
Well, I mean, let's face facts. It's probably the reason why movies like It and Annabelle and The Conjuring and so forth, why these are great, big, popular movies. People people do it for selfish reasons, which is doubly even more negative. Some people do it for the worst kind of selfish reasons, because they hate someone. There was once a case, it was about 20 years ago, actually, in which a gal was experiencing what can be considered a succubus, incubus situation in her apartment. And in some cases, at least the reported cases, she had actually even experienced the rape from this entity. And there were even trace amounts of semen that were on file that the rape kit that police used had actually shown, and there was no DNA attached to this. And come to find out, and this is the absolute horrible part, her roommate had been dabbling in demonic summoning. And the main reason why she was doing that, she hated her roommate. She was so jealous of her roommate. She wanted something to happen. Yeah. And, you know, when you sit there and you find out, you know, like I said, there are some people, they do it because they want the cheap scare.
What has instead been... Go ahead. Hmm? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, instead of paying money to go watch a movie in a movie theater, some people... you know, they go ahead and they try to bring this on. I know people, they go out every Halloween to a haunted location because they want that cheap scare.
Oh yeah,
and then
lots
there are
of people
sometimes
do.
That people like this one gal. Sorry about cutting you off, man. But sometimes, like this situation, there are people, they do it for really gruesome, ugly reasons, and that's the best way I can explain it. Everybody does it for some personal reason. You just got to figure out what.
What has been, in your career, the scariest, strangest situation that you have found yourself in?
The scariest situation that I had ever found myself in was, and it was leading up to 2012, it was the countdown situation. Every time for about 2 years leading into it, and I ironically didn't even put two and two together until like 9 months away, it was counting down the days to the 21st of December 2012. And I was like, why is it counting down the 21st? Isn't it supposed to be the 12th?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was counting it down continuously to that date. And I was like, well, you know, what's going on? And it led to a situation where myself, a few others involved, we were in what was considered at the time to be a Buffy the Vampire Slayer probably said it best, a hellmouth, a portal, if you will, to hell. Now, I'm not trying to scare you or anyone else, but it was near St. Louis.
All right, there you go.
Well, and right now there's probably someone in St. Louis going, yeah, I believe it. But no, there was this gateway, if you will, that was there. And it was myself, and of course I was on the radio, and it had announced to a few other people, and they got in contact with me like, no, I'm experiencing the same thing, and they're showing me proof that they are experiencing the same flashing of numbers periodically. And it led to a situation where we were able to go, and for the better degree, it led to a three-day prayer vigil, if you will. And the only way to explain it, the end result ended up with this arch, this gate, getting closed. The negative aspect was what was leading up to the actual final closing. It scared it frightened the absolute hell out of me.
Literally,
things that I saw what looked like my daughter, only dead.
Oh gosh!
You know, just
nobody should have to
like,
see that.
Wow. you know. But then again, I had always known. I had always been told. I'd always been trained, if you will, by others, that these things will do whatever they can, as ugly as they can, to get you. So, it sounds crazy, but you just got to fight through stuff like
is,
when you're in those situations.
Is the devil or Satan part of this? Does it pull its ugly head out?
Well, that's just it. Satan, for the better degree, I think he's here. He's here. He's been here.
I think
always.
He's been here. He's never left.
Yeah, you know, we're some of his favorite toys, George. You know, there's no way around it. We as man have shown ourselves to be so ugly, absolutely repugnant, especially to each other. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you got to have peace and not war and stuff like that. But I am going to say that we've got to start learning how to treat each other with respect and dignity and love and kindness.
It seems to be getting worse, Kurt, not better.
Exactly. That's the reason why I know. Not only is he here, he's winning. And it's our own fault because we keep allowing him to win. You know, I'll sit there, I'll go through. I mean, and others can sit there and say, well, that's kind of stupid. But you know what? Just pass on a good thought. Sit there next time you're at a fast food chain and you pull up and you pay for your meal, pay for the guy behind you. Just set that out there. It's a moment of positivity. It affects the person behind you. And hopefully they carry that positivity to where it doesn't fall into the thing of, well, they were spending the last of their money to pay for their food, and later on they're, you know, because they're completely desperate for money, they end up killing someone to rob them or something. You'd be amazed at it, really, the connectivity of everything. You know, I mean, hell, the fact that they might have had to pay for their meal with the last of their funds might have led to them being in a really bad, grumpy mood, and they get in a fight with their spouse, and then they end up getting divorced or whatever. Throw a positive vibe, if you will. You know, I'm not trying to sound all hippie and all this stuff. I'm actually allergic to marijuana, so I don't go around hugging trees or anything. But legitimately, just try being good to one another.
My producer,
you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
My producer Tom, every once in a while, will single somebody out at a supermarket and go up to the cashier and pay for that person's entire cart of groceries. And
Tom is an outstanding human being, and I swear to God, I want him to come over to my house. I want to make the man dinner now. That is awesome.
Isn't that something?
That is the type of thing you need to do.
And he tries to pick the person that he thinks needs it the most.
You know, that's just it. I think right now, legitimately, truth be told, it's kind of like I said. Even if you're sitting there in a fast food line, it doesn't matter. At this point, as bad as we are treating each other, we all need something.
Now, here's where my sinister thought comes in. So you pay for the person behind you, and then the cashier pockets the money and never tells the person.
Well, that's the reason why you sit there and you make sure you get a receipt from the cashier.
or you go back to the car behind you and say, it's paid for, here.
Well, I don't go that
I don't like to do that, but I mean, really, wouldn't a cashier stiff somebody like that? That's low.
You know, I mean,
that is really low, but I bet they would do that.
Awfully low. But like I say, I mean, it's okay, and every time I've done it, I haven't done it like every day or anything. I do it about once every week or so. You sit there, they usually give you a receipt, so you know everything's copacetic. Either that or do yourself a favor, just pay for it on your card.
I can't walk away from a homeless person who's out the, you know, with a card asking for money. I cannot walk past them without giving them something.
Well, you're a good man, George. That's the way to be.
You know, you visualize yourself there, you know, and I'm not going to be judgmental. I don't know what got that person in this position, but you know what? If I can help a little bit and it doesn't break me, and it doesn't, You know, I should help.
Exactly. And there is nothing wrong with that. That you want to know how to fight evil, George? That is exactly how you fight and defeat evil on this planet. It's just learning to be kind and polite and great to one another. Because in the end, I mean, let's face facts. The devil can't win if people are being uber polite to each other.
That's true. We're going to take a break, Kurt, and come back with a final hour and take phone calls. And what I would like, in addition to questions with Kurt Kessler, if you would share a demonic story with us, if you have one, I would like to hear it. Kurt's website, demon101.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His book is also called Demonology 101. And Kurt, how many more books do you have out beyond that one?
I have Demonology 201, and I actually have a copy of the Roman Rituals. In fact, I got to go to the Vatican, got to search the archives. I even found the sacramental for beer.
I love it. We're coming back with calls next on Coast to Coast AM.